Probably you know that today Sunday is Gaudete Sunday. It's Sunday when we are called to rejoice. Why? If you look in the Old Testament, Prophet Zephaniah says, rejoice in the Lord always. This rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. Do you see how we get strength? Or better to say, how we lose strength? We lose strength by trying to find joy where it cannot be found. Like chicken without head, running from one thing to another which we hope can give us joy. Go to casino, there you will have joy. Go to casino, you get excitement, you lose the money, you get angry, you spend there 10 hours in the dark. I know what joy is there. For sure doesn't give you strength. And then you try, I don't know, to get joy in watching the movies until you are not half dead, unconscious, or whatever. I will give you out one secret. Do you know why do you exist? Because God created you. Why did He create you? Not because that day in heaven there were nothing on TV and He was bored, okay? That's not reason. He created you to share the joy of heaven with you. You are created for joy. And as long as you don't find something of joy, you and me and everybody else in this world, as we don't find some kind of joy, we are going to keep seeking that joy in casino, in all the wrong places. To help you to find joy, I have to tell you what is joy. I think everybody wants to be happy, correct? Nobody got up this morning, Sunday morning, and says, today I wish to be miserable. Nobody. We all seek happiness. But almost nobody actually try to do something to be joyful. We are hoping for joy, but we never actually, deep down we understand that joy is a gift from God. It's something what doesn't belong here on this earth. C.S. Lewis puts it very much clearer than I'm able to say it. He shows with many examples that joy are actually little glimpses of heaven. Whenever we experience the joy, it is for us little glimpse of heaven. Because joy belongs to heaven, not to this earth. So when we experience joy, happiness, the joy, the gift from God, which comes from heaven. So that we know what we are created for. But we can never have the joy and put it in our pocket and have it always with me. We always have to turn back to God, to the one from whom this joy is coming. I hope that makes sense what I'm saying. Yes, good. Now let's see what a prophet Isaiah is saying. He says, rejoice, because the Lord is coming with divine recompense. The desert will be turned, will bloom. The desert will be turned into fruitful land. This desert which is in us, which often we feel inside like a desert. The Lord will come and change it in something beautiful, something not wasteful, not empty, but something full of life. And mind you, that what Prophet Isaiah said is not prophecy that God tells him, when I come, I will do this and this and this. No, no, no. Prophet Isaiah has the understanding that when the Lord comes, then there, the whole creation is healing from whatever is broken. Because why creation is broken? Because it's separated from God. When the Lord comes, the creation starts to heal, the life starts to bloom. It is like saying how you will know there is wind, because you see the leaves moving. How you will know God is coming, because you will see everything starts to blossom, everything is full of life. When God comes to His creation and He's coming, that's why we can rejoice. He restores life in us. He restores this life which He gave us in the beginning. He restores our ability to rejoice in Him. He restores in us ability to experience the fullness of life. That's why we can rejoice. Let's see what Christ is doing on this line. He's in this business of bringing joy. Let's see how He's doing it. Actually, I have to go step back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist is in prison. You know, he was saying, after me comes one who is stronger than I, and he will baptize you with the fire and the Holy Spirit. And already now the axe is laid on the root of the tree. And if you don't convert, he will cut you off and burn with unquenchable fire. And now he's in prison. I guess he's thinking, did I get all this right? It seems doesn't work the way I said it. And it works exactly as he saw it, just he didn't understand the depth of vision. And not spatial depth, the time depth. He have seen Christ coming at the end of time. When he comes to destroy all those, not all the sinners, we are all sinners. But only those who refuse the salvation of Christ will be destroyed. Christ comes and wants to save everybody. He calls one guy, come. End of the world is coming. I want to save you. And the guy says, no, 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 I have to go to casino. Okay. To another one, Christ comes and says, come, I want to save you. I want to give you eternal life. I know, but not now. I have to go hunting and whatever. Even not simple thing, but Christ has to be in the center. We have to understand that Christ is the center. I constantly speak this about the joy. Probably, I don't know how to bring, especially to the young people, understanding. It doesn't matter how much fun you had yesterday on the party. Doesn't matter how much seeming joy you feel, how much you enjoyed yesterday to be on the party with your friends. That was great time. But Christ can give you better joy, greater thing. And we need to experience and believe there is something greater. Otherwise, we get content with this little happiness which we have here on earth. And that's my constant attempt to show to the people, Christ, we are created for something greater. Because we are children of God, we are children of the living God, we are sons of the King of the universe, not sons of the King Kong. That's important. To know who we are. John the Baptist knew who he was. He knew he was not Messiah, and he claimed this very clearly. He knew he was only the one voice in the desert. His only mission was to shout out, prepare the way for Christ. And he was happy doing his mission. That is also for us. I recently was impressed with one young man from NCC. I had to do some talk with him, and I asked him my usual question, what you need for happiness? And he was one in, I don't know how many hundred people who, there is no very one right answer which is completely correct, which covers all ground, one short answer. But he, with his short answer, he covered a lot of ground. He said, I need to know who I am. That's amazing. That's, for a young man, that was very wise. Because you know what? That's problem of many people. We don't know who we are. Since the childhood, we are losing our identity. First time when we lie to our parents what we do, immediately next, we put nice face and pretend I am good child. Look, mom, how good I am. Correct? You have done it. And then you come, and then we keep pretending the rest of our life. Then we come to the school, we meet some friends, and we pretend I'm tough guy. Then you meet a girl, then you are pretending I'm a romantic guy. You just put different faces. At the end, you don't know who you are. And you constantly try to be something you are not. And you cannot become something what you are not. And that's one source of our unhappiness. Trying to be something we are not. Or we will never be. So Christ answers to disciples of John the Baptist. Christ tells them, repeats them the message of Isaiah. He says, tell John the Baptist what you see. The eyes of the blind are opened. The deaf hear. The lame walk. The dead are raised to life. And those whose nails are broken, these nails will be healed. Correct? No, wrong. Why did I go with this stupid joke about nails? To bring you to understanding that after you say the dead are raised to life, anything what you say after that must be much greater than this. You cannot go with something small. You understand? after you say the dead are raised to life, you have to bring something much greater. What is greater of raising dead to life is the good news is announced to the poor. That doesn't sound like a greater thing. Oh yes. Because through the announcement of the good news, we receive the eternal life. Saint Peter said to Jesus, when Jesus asked him, do you want to go somewhere else after many disciples left? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. This announcement of the good news brings eternal life to us. You don't believe it? Look in the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, after receiving the Holy Spirit, came out and announced the good news. And 3,000 people were baptized that day. 3,000 people who received the good news, their life was transformed that day. They received the Holy Spirit through the announcement of the good news. Same in the Acts, I think, chapter 9, when Peter comes in the house of Cornelius. And there is a line which says, as he was still speaking, he was announcing to them the good news. It says, as he was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came upon everybody who was listening. This announcement of the good news brings the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives eternal life to us. Because Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 says, the words which I have spoken to you are spirit and life. It's not a joke, it's life. Divine life. Life which cannot be destroyed anymore. For that reason, the saints of the first church were not afraid to go to be thrown to the lions, because they didn't hear just the words of eternal life. These words transformed them. They experienced life which cannot be destroyed. That's the good news. And how that life looked like, how it works in us. But I will tell you again, probably 300 times, how it works in my life. I received this good news, announcement of the good news, that God loves me the way I am. In the moment when I could not love myself, I despised myself because of my sins. More than despised, I don't know what is greater word than despised. I was disgusted with myself. I could not stand living with myself, and I could not escape from my skin. I was slave to many sins. And I received this announcement, God loves you the way you are. And amazingly, it was miracle that I believed. It was miracle that I heard these words. But what happened? First, I start to become at peace with myself. I learned to love myself. I didn't try to be something what I'm not. I was comfortable with who I am. And I will show you how it looked like when you suddenly you become comfortable with who you are. It looks like that. I don't have to try to be something what I'm not. To be comfortable in your own skin. But Father, don't I have to stop with my sins? Yes and no. If you try to stop sinning without realizing how much God loves you, it will be your work, and this will not be good. You will be good with human strength, and that will break at any point. But if you see how much God loves you, then what we call sins, they just fall off you. I didn't have needed much effort to come out of my addictions of pornography or something, because God, love of God, has filled the emptiness which I tried to fill with alcohol, which I tried to fill with cigarettes, which I tried to fill with pornography. I didn't need to stop that, because the love of God filled this emptiness. How you get rid of the anger? You don't need anger anymore. If you feel loved by God, I will tell you what happens. If you experience this joy, that you see that God loves you the way you are, and then at that point you are at peace with God, and you accept to be loved by God, you learn even to love yourself. You are at peace with God, you are at peace with yourself. You will be at peace with everybody else. It may happen, somebody comes and insults you and shouts at you and is angry. And you look at that person and you think, poor thing, he never experienced the joy which God gives to me, to know to be loved as I am. You may actually have compassion on somebody who is against you, who is angry with you. It actually can happen. You don't need to work on your anger. I will try to be less angry. You simply see the person, because you are changed by the love of God. You start to see people in different way. That's all the sins are healed when we realize how much God loves us. All the sins have started with Adam and Eve when they believed serpent that God doesn't love them and they have to take care of their own happiness. All sins are falling away the moment when we believe truly God loves me. I don't need to become good to be loved by God. God loves me now when I cannot love myself. And God will bring me to happiness. Once that love makes click in my heart, when it's not just in my head, we are changed. If that happens to this parish, we will have many saints in this parish. You would be amazed what can happen in this parish if we all start to believe that. That's the truth. The problem is when we start to live that truth, to jump in that love, to find joy in this love of God, to find joy in being the children of God, led toward the joy for which we are created. Let us stand and profess our faith.